Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. And if you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, we encourage you to give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. And that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're learning how to take a stand on the gospel, as Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 15. And I think this is such an important thing for us to really talk about, especially in this crazy world in which we live in today. And I just want to read this passage again. It's 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And it says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." So Paul preached the gospel message, and those who heard it received it, and they took their stand on it. You know, they had taken a stand on other things in life, and when this gospel message came roaring in through the Apostle Paul, boy, they were just taken by it. It gripped their hearts, and they said, this is where real life is, and we're going to take our stand on this message. And Paul went on to say, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." So this isn't just peripheral stuff. This isn't elementary things. This is of first importance. And if it's of first importance to God, it really ought to be of first importance to us. And so this is what he received, and what he received, he passed on. So Paul is saying, I didn't make this stuff up.
No.
It isn't a story that I invented, that I created. I'm simply passing on what I received. And this is what he received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So that's the story. That is the gospel message. Now, why is it important for us to take our stand on this particular message now, right now, at this point in time, some 2,000 years after this event occurred? Well, because it is the only message that really deals with reality. It's the only message that explains life and our problems and the solutions in a way that is reasonable, that is hopeful, and that can actually solve what we're going through. Mm-hmm. Now, the world that we live in today, with its bent on science, with its leaning on human reason and logic, we're trying to come up with all kinds of answers to these problems. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to rename the problem. So instead of calling something sin, we're coming up with some other names. So the Bible says sexual immorality is sin. Now the World Health Organization has just recently come out in a USA Today article, I think dated the 12th of July of this year, and they have said that sexual addiction or sexual, and they really talk about sexual addiction, they're calling it a mental disorder. So it's no longer sexual immorality. It's no longer sin. It is now a mental disorder. Well, if it's a mental disorder, then that takes the gospel out of the picture. What's the gospel? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. If I understand that these behaviors are sinful, they are indeed sins, and they start with the heart, they start in the heart, then when I hear this gospel that Christ has died for my sins according to Scriptures, then I can put the two together. I have a sin problem. Jesus has a sin solution. I have a spiritual death problem. Jesus has a life solution through the resurrection. But if I call those things anything other than the Word of God calls it, then I'm going to miss the solution that God has provided for me in Jesus. I'm just going to poo-poo that and go on to something else. Mm-hmm. Why? The world says it's something different than sin. So I'm going to go with the world system. Well, if you're going to go with the world system, you're going to come up empty. You're not going to find a real answer to your problem. So we have to stick with what the Word has to say and take our stand on the gospel. And one of the ways that we take our stand on the gospel is to come to grips that we were sinners in need of forgiveness and that we were dead and in need of life. And when we understand that is the real problem, then this gospel comes roaring through with hope, timeless hope, and relevance that the world just cannot match.
Yeah.
In all of its progressiveness, in all of its advancements, in all of its new discoveries, it will never be relevant when it comes to the needs of the human heart. Only the gospel will. Only the gospel speaks directly to the heart, and that's why we need to take our stand right there.
Absolutely. Well, in line with everything we're talking about this month, to find solid footing in this broken world, we need something solid to stand on. And the only rock-solid, unfailing foundation is the Word of God. And at Basic Gospel, we want to see you begin to let your roots grow deep in the love, the truth, the promises, and the power of our God. That's why we are offering our donors an excellent CD series this month. It's called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. Request your copy when you send your September gift to support Basic Gospel. You can donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Of course, in Canada, you can give directly at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also use PayPal or the Basic Gospel app. And we want to say thanks in advance for your love of the message that you hear every day on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. And we're glad you've joined us today. Again, my name is Bob Davis, and we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. If it's the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you're going to have a good opportunity to call right now and pose your question. 844-322-2742.
Well, Bob, we had a call that came in from a distraught grandmother. And when you hear this, listeners, you're going to hear a broken heart.
Yes.
And we want to address this. And I think it's something that many people are asking today.
Indeed.
And so let's listen to this question.
First, thank you for your program. It's made a difference in my life. My question is, what do you do with the 33-year-old daughter who has told both of your grandchildren that there is no God? My heart has broken and crumbled, and I don't know what to do. Please help me. Thank you, and thank God for you.
Well, like I said, yeah. You just hear a broken heart because this woman grew up knowing Jesus, knowing that God exists. And, you know, my daughter Mackenzie just had the most beautiful grandson.
Well, you can think what you want, but the truth is with me.
Oh, gosh.
So we were there. It's, you know, a month ago, I was there in the delivery room with Gina, and you just see this miracle of childbirth, and your heart just cries out and says, I know there's a God. This just can't happen just by random chance.
Yeah.
Just random things going on over time is not going to bring about this intricate, detailed, beautiful experience.
Yeah.
And so we can just look out there in the world and see God exist. But yet there's this element in society, and it's always been there, that is trying to suppress that truth. And we see many, many, many people today saying, I don't want anything to do with God, and I'm just going to make the conclusion that God doesn't even exist. And when that's your child, and you see your child communicating that lie, that deception to these precious grandchildren, it does. It would just absolutely break your heart. And so what's a grandmother to do in a situation like that? Well, she is definitely at odds with her daughter.
Yeah.
And as far as what is truth. And so her daughter is saying that truth is this, that there is no God. And the grandmother is saying, oh, yes, there is. And there's just way too much evidence to say that God exists. And quite frankly, nobody, there's not a single human being that can say with utmost confidence that there is no God. They just don't have the brain capacity to come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
There's too much that they don't know outside of their realm of knowledge to come to that conclusion. You have to have total knowledge to be able to say that God does not exist, and there's not a human being on the planet that contains total knowledge. And so the best a person could do is to be agnostic. Said, I don't know if he exists or doesn't exist, but if he does, he's irrelevant to my life. Now, that's an honest person.
Yeah.
But to say
still sad, but honest.
Yeah. To say there is no God, that is a dishonest person, because she does not have the mental capacity to make that absolute conclusion. So if you're the grandmother, I think I'd challenge the daughter and challenge the daughter on that very thing. You do not have the brain power to make that call. You can only say maybe God exists and maybe he doesn't. And if you're going to be honest with your kids, that's what you have to do. But I, as a grandmother, when they're with me, I'm going to tell them about God and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And if you have that opportunity, talk to them. And kids are smart enough to know that when they hear truth, they will recognize it as truth. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to just put the story of Jesus out there just in your conversations with your grandkids, and leave the results of that in God's hands. Eventually, they're going to have to take all the information that's been given to them by their mom, given to them by you, given to them by friends, just as they grow up in life, and they're going to come to a point and say, I'm either going to believe Jesus was real and that he died for me and was raised again so that I could have everlasting life, or I'm not. So they're going to have to come to that point, and you be a voice to help show them that Jesus is real, that he did come in the flesh, that he was an historical character, that he actually did die and was raised physically, bodily from the grave, and he ascended into heaven. And it is through faith in him that we can have forgiveness of sins and life everlasting and a solid, unshakable, unmovable identity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So pray and give out the good news.
Yeah. So to this grandmother, the three of us here in the studio today, we are all grandparents. Richard and I have a lot more experience than Bob does. He has a new grandson, but we know your heart. We hear your heart, and we understand the heart-wrenching that you're going through. So thank you for calling, letting us hear your heart and be able to give you some input as to direction.
Yes, most definitely. And Jeannie Thompson, who has been on our staff and is a volunteer, she has written some beautiful children's books that really help tell the story of Jesus in a wonderful, wonderful way. And we would be glad to send those to you. And if you will just connect with us, you can write to me, bob@basicgospel.net, bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll put those materials in your hands. And we'll give you some information about some other materials that may be beneficial to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Friends, well, I want to remind you that if you're struggling in your daily walk with Jesus Christ, there's good news to be found in Bob's book. It's called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We have copies available, postage paid, for only $10. Just click the link at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your order to 844-322-2742 and find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Again, place your order at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Duran, listening to us in Temple, Texas. Hi, Duran.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well today. What's on your mind?
Well, I kind of want to comment on that. It's kind of sad, you know, to hear stories like that. It just, you know, reminds me of when I was little, I used to say things like that, too. Even though I was brought up in religion, I also came to the conclusion that maybe, you know, God just didn't exist. You know, until one day when the actual true gospel was presented to me by my mother, you know, it pricked my heart and I believe. So, you know, I pray for that lady and her, it was her granddaughter. So, you know, that she comes to the knowledge of truth and she'll accept Jesus.
Yeah. We never should underestimate the power of the gospel
and
that story of Jesus Christ. Just lay it out there. Be bold. You don't have to be harsh or mean or anything out like that.
Just state it.
Just speak it with love and season it with salt and flavor it with grace and just leave the results of that in God's hands.
Right. That's right. Well, I did have one question about 1 Corinthians 6:9. I'm trying to understand the context of that. And I know that, you know, as a child of God, we're no longer identified as these things that Paul has listed. You know, I'm trying to put together a little sermon on this, and I want to make sure I'm, you know, getting this right. I think I am, but I kind of wanted to get your input on it.
Well, the verse reads this: Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, the operative word, the key word to really understand the meaning of this is the word unrighteous. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, all of us come into this world unrighteous. All have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. And that's, Scripture is very clear on that. So we all fall into that category at one point in our lives until that gospel message hits us. So when we hear the gospel, we receive the gospel, we receive Jesus, we receive his righteousness. So he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when we receive Christ, we are no longer in the unrighteous category. We are placed in the righteous category, not because we've merited that, but because by grace God has given it to us through Jesus Christ. So what Paul is trying to say here is since that you've been washed, since you've been sanctified, since you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God, why would you be going back and doing the things that you did when you were unrighteous, before you were cleansed and sanctified and justified in Christ Jesus? That doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. You're right.
So that's all he's trying to say here, that here's these unrighteous the people, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Here's some of the deeds of unrighteousness that we see out there that we once participated in. But now that we've been made righteous, now that we've been cleansed, and now that the Spirit of God dwells in us, let's be led by the Spirit. And when we're led by the Spirit, we're going to see some different things come out of us. Richard?
Yeah, at the beginning of this chapter, he takes the Corinthians to task for lawsuits. I mean, they've got issues among the believers. And he says, how dare you take this before the unrighteous? And then he asks, can it be that there's no one among you that can help settle this dispute? And then he says, now remember, you used to be like those people. Why would you go back there? Why would you go into the world system to get redress for a grievance when you are a brother or sister in Christ with the person you've got the argument with? Let's right. Calm down here. Let's remember who we are, that our identity is completely changed. We're not messing around in those behaviors anymore. Why would we trust ourselves to people who are in those behaviors? Because they're lost. They behave that way because they're lost. You don't behave that way anymore because you're saved. You've been justified and sanctified and all the rest of it. So there's this little twist in it because the church was failing. And he said, man, we're better than that because we've got the mind of Christ in us, 1 Corinthians 2. And it just ought not be that we use the tools of the world to solve the problems of the church among believers.
Yeah, and here's one final conclusion that Paul makes in this, and it's verse 17 of this chapter. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. That's what Paul is trying to say. You've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified, and now you have become one spirit with the Lord. We'll live accordingly.
Yeah.
You've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Don't sell yourself short on that. So that's the context, Daron.
Okay, I appreciate it. And you, like you say, you have a new identity in Christ Jesus. We're no longer identified as one of those things. You have a new identity.
Correct.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly right. Well, Daron, always good to hear from you, my friend.
It is indeed.
Okay.
You too.
Let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We're doing well. What's on your mind?
Bob, you know, I always like to, this month's subject is standing. I always like to get an image, okay? And usually with that image, I go back to the beginning and start that. And the image I got of standing for the gospel is, it says, just as God created 6 days, on the Sabbath day he rested, he said, see that we cease from our own works and labor into that same Sabbath day rest. Well, we do that in Jesus Christ, okay? And so my image of knowing that I'm standing for the gospel is seeing him seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, and I'm seated with him in righteousness. So, and it gives me an image of standing for the gospel.
Well, that's a good image. Mm-hmm. I like the thought of the promised land, that you know, there was a destination and they were to put their feet in that promised land, a place that God had prepared for them. Well, Jesus Christ in this gospel message is the place that God has prepared for us.
Yeah.
And so when we take our stand there, we find rest for our souls, and we find a life that is satisfying and pleasing in every way, shape, or form. So finding a place for our foot to stand on is very, very important. And in this crazy world, there is no place out there that you're going to find solid ground. There's only one place to find it, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because a friend of mine said he likes to stand on the Word of God, and I said, well, go buy you a thick Bible.
That's right.
And don't fall off it.
That's right.
Anyway. All right, I love you guys. I love the program. Can't wait for tomorrow. Are you having the marriage?
We're going to talk about marriage again tomorrow. So.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Clay.
All right, thank you, man.
Very quickly, this call just came in over the weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking the call. First-time caller. I'm concerned. I heard a radio broadcast about a 9-year-old taking his life because he wasn't sure about his gender. I understand what God's aspects are, but I want to really understand is, how do we relate to children that are confused, and why are they being more confused, given more choices maybe at this level? And I know there's nothing new up under the sun, but challenges seem that they're being saturated all the time at this point. So if you could just simply address that aspect, I greatly appreciate it. God bless you. God bless America. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for that question. And we do see a lot of confusion out there in the world, and God is not the author of that.
No.
So we have to stick with what he says. And we may have feelings that are opposed to what he says. We may have feelings that are opposed to what our biology says of us. But it's our feelings that are messed up. It's not the biology. And we have to stick to what is true. Now, the book of James describes it this way, and I think he does a pretty good description of this crazy world in which we live in. He says that if you need wisdom, ask, but don't doubt. Otherwise, you're going to be a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways. Well, this wisdom out there in the world is just making a lot of people unstable.
Yeah.
And to change that, we need to get back to truth as revealed to us in Jesus Christ.
Friends, I want to remind you, as always, that we are a listener-supported ministry, and we need your help to keep the good news coming. When you make your gift this month, be sure to request your copy of Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. It's what we're talking about all month, and there is a broken world out there, but there is solid footing that we can stand on. Again, make your donation at basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742. In Canada, it's basicgospel.net/Canada. Any way is a great way to contribute to the ongoing message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for The Grace Guide to Marriage as we continue in that excellent series. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.